Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to this podcast. In today's segment, we will be talking with Nimi Reichenberg, the Chief Marketing Officer at a leading cybersecurity firm known as Simplify, based in New York City, New York. Nimi, thanks for your time, and let's get started.
Thank you, Ravi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we looked up your bio, and you seem to have a very deep and rich background in cybersecurity. Can you tell us some of the highlights of your career, please?
Sure. So I actually started my career as a software engineer, specializing in software development and security software. Before, at some point, I moved over to the dark side and started working for security vendors, both in technical positions like product management and then to marketing. And I've been fortunate enough to actually work with a lot of leading Fortune 500 companies on a wide range of cybersecurity challenges, from network to endpoint to SOC. So I always like to say I've been doing cybersecurity since before it was called cybersecurity.
Okay. How did you venture into Simplify?
So I actually worked for a company called Eastentire that does managed detection and response, basically SOC as a service for other companies. And when I left Eastentire, actually looked at a couple of companies, and Simplify was the one that I thought was the most promising. I'll cut to the chase and say, I happened to hit this time, and I'll explain, I think, why I'm great believer in Simplify in the security orchestration automation market. And that was, that's kind of it. There's no kind of exciting story behind it. I've been here for about 15 months, helping the company grow, loving every minute of it, working with kind of top-notch customers on their security operations challenges. It's been a fun ride.
Sounds excellent. Congratulations. So what is the meaning behind the company's name, and what relevance does it have to cybersecurity?
Yeah, so let's talk maybe a little bit about Simplify and what is it that we do, and we can talk about the kind of love-hate relationship that at least I have with the name. So Simplify basically was founded by Security Operations Center or SOC experts, right? Our founders manage SOCs in the Israeli Defense Force. They train SOCs from all over the world, kind of ran simulations to see how security operations teams, both military and civilian, respond to alerts and attacks. And through this work, it became very clear to them everything that can be improved about how security operations teams operate today, right? So they went and founded Simplify, which is kind of a play on words. You know, everybody knows the SIM technology that powers most SOCs, kind of the heart of most SOCs. And, you know, there's a lot of complexity in working with it. So, you know, SIM and Simplify was a kind of play on words. It does cause people sometimes to mistakenly think that we offer a SIM or that we're a SIM replacement, which we're not. And that was kind of how the company was founded. And today the category that we operate in is better known as SOAR, which stands for Security Orchestration, Automation, and Response. And really, this category of tools like Simplify is set out to help address the challenges that pretty much every security operation teams face today, which namely are, you know, alert overload, just receiving way too many alerts from all the detection technologies that we've put in our network over the years, and not being able to address all of them. The challenge of disparate tools. So another thing that security teams over the years have added a lot of different tools that security analysts have to use to investigate the alerts, triage them, remediate them. And all these tools typically don't work together. So if you've ever been into a SOC, kind of a very common scene is to see the security analysts have four screens in front of them, 15 open tabs on every screen and kind of, you know, kind of constantly switching between different tools just to get their job done. And the third challenge is just the processes, sometimes known as playbooks, that security operations teams follow. So still for most security operations teams, there are no clearly defined processes for what you should do when a certain alert comes in and how you address it. And even if those processes are defined, they are for the most part manual, which means that security analysts actually spend surprisingly little of their time actually analyzing. A lot of the time is spent fetching information and enriching data, kind of preparing for the moment where you as an analyst can finally do some analysis. And the last and final challenge that we address is that of the cybersecurity skills shortage, which, you know, has been talked about a lot. It's very difficult to find skilled security staff, skilled security analysts. So obviously there's a growing appetite for companies to automate as much of the grunt work as possible.
Okay. So in a nutshell, I mean, what do you guys do?
So yeah, so basically we provide a security operations platform, right? Basically a platform that powers the security operations teams or the SOCs and helps manage that function end to end. Kind of quite surprisingly, if you look at security operations, what we found is that there really is no platform where security operations teams can get their work done. And this is in sharp contrast to other operations platform in the organization. If you're in sales, for example, you have your CRM system, maybe Salesforce.com or something similar, where you get your work done. If you're in HR, you may have a platform like a Workday. But if you're in security operations, what tool do you use, right? I mean, and the answer is, you know, there really wasn't one until solutions like Simplify came along. So we actually have a solution that powers the entire SOC and provides everything that security analysts need in order to be effective and efficient, which means we automate a lot of the grunt work. We build, we kind of, you know, can execute playbooks that automate activities, orchestrate your various tools. We help analysts conduct more effective investigations, and we help SOC managers and management kind of generate insights from the fact that all analyst activity is tracked on one platform. So you can now understand, am I getting better? I know, am I addressing threats faster? Where are my bottlenecks? What's working, what's not? So that's very important, obviously, for the management aspect of security operations.
Okay. Can you give us some more details about the interactive investigation and incident response component?
Sure. So, you know, as much as we love automation, and this maybe is good news and bad news, but obviously, you know, we're not in the business of automating the analyst out of a job. There will always be a need for critical analyst thinking to address threats. Some, you know, we could automate some of the grunt work. We can maybe automate some false positive alert handling. But ultimately, and certainly in many cases, the analysts will have to step in and make a decision, right? So maybe we've collected some data, we've enriched some data, we present it to the analyst, but the analyst needs to make a decision. And some of the things that Simplify offer in the platform is we enable the analyst to kind of look at what's actually happened, the who, what, when of an attack, what entities are interacting with each other, and usually very quickly pinpoint what the right decision is. You know, is this malicious? Is it not? What do I need to do? What kind of remediation actions do I need to do? And usually, again, once you make that decision, you can trigger a whole bunch of remediation actions at a click of a button and across several tools, as opposed to, once again, having multiple tools open or opening tickets for experts on each tool to execute some sort of remediation activity. So there's a lot of cool stuff in the product that helps analysts make good, fast decisions time in and time out.
Okay. Does this component make use of artificial intelligence and machine learning as well?
Yeah, a great question. The answer is yes, and I always feel compelled to explain, you know, kind of the pretty simple logic behind our machine learning, because machine learning and AI are so overused in this day and age, and I want to kind of clarify that it's not hype. So I'll give an example of things that we're able to do via machine learning. For example, one of the things we use machine learning for is alert prioritization. And again, when the product comes out of the box, there's not a whole lot we can do. But after a while, we see, for example, that maybe certain alerts are always closed as false positive, whereas a different group of alerts are usually escalated and become incidents. So over time, you can say, you know what, this kind of alert that always, you know, typically gets closed as a false positive, let's give that a low priority. And this alert that usually gets escalated into an incident, let's give that a high priority, right? So basically just learning from historical data what's working, what's not, and providing actionable recommendations to analysts and managers on how to do work more efficiently.
Okay, sounds excellent. Now, what exactly is cyber ontology?
Cyber ontology is kind of part of our patent technology. I mean, basically, it's our ability to create a new language from what is primarily textual data that comes out of your SIM. And this language ultimately converts this very raw textual data into entities that interact with each other. So as an analyst, rather than analyzing rows and rows of data, you can kind of clearly see, oh, this user is is logging into this machine, which is VKing to that IP address, and it makes for a much easier investigation and case handling.
Okay. Now, do the AI and ML components learn over time?
Yeah, that's as I described. Basically, we already talk about AI, but we have machine learning into the platform. When you just install it, there's not a whole lot of learning that we can do, so there aren't really any recommendations. But over time, we basically see what's working, what's not, and can make recommendations based on that. So absolutely, kind of like, true to its name, the machine learning aspect of what we do learns over time.
Okay, excellent. Now, what kinds of dashboards and other reporting tools do you provide for your customers for this component?
Again, can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, what kinds of dashboards and other reporting tools do you provide for your customers for this component?
Yeah, so there's actually, we actually give a lot of thought into how to best present the data to drive actions. There's dashboards and reports that come out of the box to track anything from the mundane, how quickly am I closing cases, which analysts are more effective, to things that are less trivial, which of my processes are effective, where I might have bottlenecks, and kind of anything in between. And as you would expect from kind of, a best-in-class solution, it's pretty easy to create your own reports and your own dashboards and kind of slice and dice and the technology the data any way you wish.
Okay. Now, what are playbooks and how are they created? What kind of architecture do you use to create them?
So playbooks essentially are a process, right? A process that an analyst should follow when a certain alert comes in. So, for example, if an employee says, "Hey, I think I may have been phished. This may be a phishing email." So, typically, there's a process that an analyst goes through. They want to know about who this user is. They may want to look at the URL or the hash of some sort of attachment in the threat intelligence tool and see if it's known bad. Basically, kind of a series of steps that you walk through. Our platform comes with about 80 playbooks out of the box, so there's actually a lot of built-in knowledge into that's built into the product. But the cool thing about a SOAR platform like Simplify is that you can drag and drop. It's almost like building blocks, right? Almost like Lego blocks. You can drag and drop different actions to define the playbooks that you use in your organization, right? And this way you make sure that the analysts follow kind of a prescriptive process for that speed and consistency. And then each step can be automated or manual, but depends on whether you trust the machine to do that time and time again, or you want an analyst to actually take a look and make a human decision whether to proceed or not.
Okay, sounds excellent. Can the playbooks be simulated and make use of a real world cyber threat environment?
Yeah, so I mean, playbooks address real world cyber threat environment, and yes, you can actually you can run simulations, you can kind of run alerts or simulate alerts through the playbooks to test it, make sure it's doing what it's supposed to do. That's actually a pretty cool capability in the platform. So you can absolutely simulate the playbooks before you kind of put them in production and count on them to handle real life scenarios.
Okay. Can this orchestration process be 100% automated, or does it require some kind of human element in order to carry it together in one piece?
think I understand the question. And we talked about, you know, can things be 100% automated? And again, fortunately, I think certainly for security analysts, it cannot, right? There's certain things, very, I'd say, minor cases that you can automate fully, mainly around false positives. So, you know, you can run a bunch of checks, and if all of them clear, you can say, I'm pretty sure this is nothing. But for real scenarios, you always want a human analyst to make a decision. Again, think about it, especially when it comes to remediation. I don't think that, you know, if you're the CEO of a company, when you come in one day, find out that you've been locked out of your PC because of some automated, you know, playbook that's been run. So definitely, you know, the investigation, the remediation, you always want a human analyst making that call.
Okay, sounds good. Now, can you give us more details into the security ops and collaborations communication component?
Yeah, one of the things that we didn't touch on is a lot of times the work of a security analyst is highly collaborative, right? They pull in other analysts or pull in experts, say, have you seen this? What do you make of this? And one of the cool things about the platform is that the collaboration functionality is built in, right? So it's very easy to bring in other analysts and even like also view what people have done in the past. Maybe you can learn from a similar analyst how he or she handled a specific alert. So all of that kind of teamwork and collaboration is also baked in the platform.
Okay. It seems like that your product has all sorts of integrations, all the way from cloud security to vulnerability, risk assessment. Can you elaborate more on that and give us details, please?
Sure. So I think SOAR solutions, by nature, have to play nicely with the security ecosystem and beyond. So, you know, we're the leading independent SOAR provider. I mean, there are some SOAR offerings from other vendors who are not 100% focused on SOAR that are typically obviously have some sort of bias towards the vendor that offers them. We're 100% independent. We don't play favorites, and we integrate with I think over 200 tools at last count that security analysts use day in and day out to get their work done. So a lot of security tools across, you know, network security, cloud security, threat intel, endpoint, but then also non-security tools, you know, like maybe you want to send a Slack message to another analyst as part of a playbook, so we integrate with that. Maybe you want to open a ticket so that, you know, IT does something, so we integrate with ticketing systems. And there's basically, you know, a lot of integrations. We keep hammering them out. We have a dedicated team just for integrations, and we basically prioritize those based on customers' needs. Like I said, we don't play favorites. Whatever we hear about the most from customers is what we integrate with.
Okay, sounds good. Now, let's segue to your customer base. Do you have any customer success stories or testimonials that you can share with us?
So the ones that we can share are on our website, and as is often the case in security, the customers that are willing to go public and do testimonials are typically the smaller customers that don't have a lot of red tape to jump through in order to get something like that approved. Unfortunately, the Fortune 500 clientele and like, you know, tier one MSSP clientele typically are unable to share their stories publicly. But if you go to our website at simplify.co, there's certainly a handful of case studies that I think are very insightful and videos as well where customers share their success stories. There's a lot of kind of sound bites that I like. You know, one customer that is kind of available, the case study is available publicly on our website, basically says, hey, this is a 10x force multiplier for my team. And you can hear it in his own words. There's customers that I can't name, but they gave us some great sound bites. Like, you know, one customer that I work with, a Fortune 500 company, you know, their SOC team came to us and said, you know, building playbooks in Simplify is so easy, it's almost like cheating, right? So I love that soundbite. I think once you get used to working with this, you can't go back as a SOC team.
Sounds good. Now, do you depend upon the VAR strategic partner model, I mean, like value-added reseller, for your sales?
Yeah, absolutely. We have VARs throughout the world, throughout the U.S., and our goal is to be a 100% channel. We come pretty close. And, you know, whenever possible, we always prefer to work with partners to extend our reach. Absolutely, that's our go-to model for enterprises.
Okay. Now, what are your general plans for Simplify? Are you planning to offer any new products or services or enterprise markets, perhaps? Or are you getting customers?
Yeah, so, you know, we're fairly young, innovative company, so we continually crank out a lot of innovation, for sure. We have a major release coming up with a lot of cool stuff, some of which most of which, unfortunately, I can't talk about now, but all I can say is stay tuned for our announcements. We're actually pushing out a lot of innovation in the coming weeks and months.
Okay. Now, let's segue back cybersecurity threat landscape. How do you foresee this landscape changing and revolving in the coming year, the next 5 years, 10, what have you?
Yeah, it's interesting. So, first of all, I think, and maybe that's one of the reasons why security automation is kind of so hot right now and organizations are rushing to adopt it, because what I think we see from attackers is an increased reliance on automation, right? So I think attackers are going to be more automated even than they are today when in executing attacks. Defenders are going to be more automated as well. So while, again, I don't think the human aspect is going to go away, there's going to be a lot more of kind of machines fighting machines, right? An automated machine on the attacker side and an automated machine on the defender side, and, you know, kind of duking it out and seeing who's more effective. But I still think the human factor on both sides, on both the attackers and defender side, are what's going to also make the difference. So I think again, that in increased reliance on automation from attackers is one of the things that we'll see. In terms of types of attacks, I think honestly, there's so many companies and people out there that do security poorly. So I think, again, to target the 99%, I'm not talking about like nation state attacks or anything of that nature, to target the 99%, I think a lot of the vectors that are successful now, you know, phishing, leads to ransomware, et cetera, are going to continue to be successful, at least in the foreseeable future.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to throw an extra question. Now, I know we've talked a lot about AI and ML and how the benefits of it, but I've also been hearing about how it can be used by a cyber hacker to act for detrimental purposes. What are your quick thoughts on that?
Good question. I can't say that I'm maybe, you know, the biggest expert on how attackers are using you know, AI and machine learning. But the one thing that's not a secret is that attackers are getting more sophisticated and using everything at their disposal. So if you think only the defenders are leveraging machine learning and AI to do better defense, then obviously you're dead wrong. And then the attackers are using it, you know, as aggressively in order to construct better attacks. I think that's the gist of it.
Okay. Now, as we wrap up our show, this is the kind of like the golden question for any cybersecurity professional, or a $64,000 question. But what do you recommend for people to protect themselves and their environment from cyber hacks, cyber attacks? I get this asked many times, and I always ask this at the close of every show for all my guests. What do you tell people in this?
Yeah, so I think my answer may be different if I'm speaking to organizations or if I'm speaking to kind of consumers and private people. So let's start with organizations, right? I think some of the again, some of this is maybe common knowledge, but it's not common practice, right? So you know, one of the things that I of course advocate for very strongly is the back to basics approach, right? I think for companies, when you look at hacks, and you look at how companies are compromised, it's not some super sophisticated hacker exploiting a zero-day attack in a sophisticated way, right? A lot of times it's just exploiting the basics, unpatched servers, default passwords that aren't changed, users who have too much privileges on their machines than they need to be. So, and it's boring and mundane to make sure that systems are patched, passwords have changed, It's not easy to get admin privileges on machines. All of that stuff is very boring, but I think if you do a good job at that, you will probably be effective at thwarting a large percentage of the attack. So one of the things that I think is the kind of back to basics approach, which I'm a big advocate of. The second thing I'd say to the companies is make sure that you're allocating your budget, your resources, your efforts appropriately between detection and prevention, right? There's a lot of preventative tools out there. Hey, we stopped 90% of network this, or we stopped 97% of cloud that. I think, again, unless you're one of those vendors, I think any security pro worth their weight will tell you that, you're not going to be able to prevent 100% of attacks. And even if you're preventing 99.9% of the attacks, a company today are attacked 10,000, 100,000 times a day. That's still a lot of times people are going to at least breach your initial defenses. And I think a good security program today obviously is not measured by its ability to prevent everything. It's measured by its ability to quickly detect when you've been breached or at least attacked, and to contain that attack quickly and to remediate it, right? So I think one of the most important metrics, in my opinion, of every security organization is mean time to detect, mean time to remediate, and some kind of kind of basic hygiene, right? How good am I at doing basic hygiene across my network and estate? So probably those would be my top two pieces of advice to companies. I don't think it's anything revolutionary that's never been said before. But I do think, again, there's a difference between common knowledge and common practice, and organizations should kind of, do those things maybe at the expense, since we all have limited resources, at chasing the latest shiny toy that, stops advanced persistent threats and you ask yourself, why would somebody target my organization with an advanced persistent threat? The answer for most organizations out there is probably isn't one, right? And kind of just keep that in mind. I think for consumers, individuals, it's, again, things that are maybe common knowledge but not common practice. Don't reuse passwords. Use two-factor authentication whenever it's available, certainly on things like Gmail and things like that. Don't click on anything that you don't trust, right? And, again, sound advice, but, people are still easily fooled all too often. But if you do those things, you're probably ahead of the curve. I think it's true for companies, by the way, companies and also maybe individuals. Kind of that old joke about to survive a bear or shark attack, you don't need to outswim the shark. You just need to outswim your diving buddy, right? So, if attackers they're going after those hanging fruit, right? If you do a decent job, this guy's got his bases covered, instead of trying to put so much effort to maybe possibly crack your defenses, they're likely to go after the next person who doesn't do a good job, right? So keep that in mind.
Well, Nimi, we thank you very much for your time this evening. Thank you for your time. And we look forward to speaking with you again here in the near future, okay?
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And thank you, Robbie, for having me on your show.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.